Are you blessed to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Yes. Peace be to you, each of us, man. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be ours this morning. May the joy of the Lord be with you. Amen. Receive that. It says, the Bible says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, this morning I was thinking, you know, a lot of times this is something we Most of the time, we don't think about it, but there are tons of thousands of people, children, young women, men, suffering or being enslaved through what we call human trafficking. You know, today is not human trafficking day, but I think this is something maybe moving forward, looking forward, we might, I'm sure all of you, you know what it's about. You know, Ken and I, we've been talking about that a lot. This is something that even here in America, it's happening. You know, in Haiti, it's happening. In India, it's happening. They're selling kids. But this morning, I thought it would be a good time for us as the body of Christ. It says in Colossians to pray. You know, do you believe when we join our hearts together, God hears us? Oh, yeah. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man. Can you give me a little more? Pick me up a little bit. So I don't have to shout. The Bible says the prayer of the righteous man has a lot of power. You know, so let's join our voices, our hearts together with Ken. Ken, come up here. I want you to pray. You know, you've been into this, doing a lot of research, and I know this is one thing you are very passionate about. And let's just pray. Just pour your heart before the Lord as we join our hearts in prayer together with those.
I'm gonna have to sit.
Sit down, buddy. It's all right. I'm gonna sit by you.
Pastor, you are closer than you know. Human Trafficking Day, International Human Trafficking Day, was July 30th. Just a couple weeks ago.
Wow, my goodness, that's awesome.
So it's good timing. Lord knew what he was doing.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Just a few quick facts before I pray.
Go for it.
There are still. This is according to the United Nations and the Department of State. 40 million people across this planet that are still tied up in human slavery, because that's what trafficking is. And unfortunately, when somebody thinks they own you, they're going to use you for whatever they want to. There are another 6 million across the world who are tied up and enslaved in sex trafficking. And there are another 2 million that are children that are tied up in sex trafficking. And let's be blunt, we're talking about child rape. Sex trafficking is just kind of a nice way to say it. There's nothing nice about it. In the United States alone, that estimate is 200,000, and the average age is just 13. There are approximately 10,000 children that are brought into the United States, smuggled into the United States across the border, both north and south, and by sea, for the purposes of sex trafficking. And it's everywhere. Most people think that it's just in undeveloped countries, but it's not. Third world countries. The fact is, any country that is developed and has a resort has child sex trafficking going on. Today, here we are in Virginia Beach. Well-developed and a big resort. Mm-hmm. With international flights coming in all the time. So let's just lift these children up.
Yes, Father. Jesus.
Father God, we just thank you. You are a good God, God.
Yes, Lord.
And despite what's going on in the world, Father, we just ask that you would be with these children. They're the most vulnerable and precious of your creations.
Yes, Father.
And Father, we ask that you just bless them, that you comfort them, that you totally encompass them with the peace that passes all understanding why they're enslaved in this horrible criminal enterprise. And Lord, we also ask that you bless those men and women, both in law enforcement and in nonprofit groups, who are fighting this pernicious criminal enterprise.
Yes,
Lord, help them to bring your light into the most darkest of places where these children live. And Father, I just pray that you would just raise up an army
yes.
of people around this world yes. and across this nation
yes.
that will take on the job of fighting this and bringing this to an end, to completely eradicate human trafficking of any kind. Human trafficking actually takes several different forms. There's slave, there's labor trafficking, there's sex trafficking, but there's also the newest one is organ harvesting. Mm. People are kidnapped and removed. Their kidneys and livers are removed to benefit
Jesus.
Somebody else.
Oh, Jesus.
And just think about how despicable that is. That means there are very learned, skilled medical personnel who are willing to use their skills for profit to take the life of one person to give life to another.
Have mercy, Lord.
Father, that is just so despicable.
Have mercy, Lord.
So, Father, we bless them and keep them, Father. Provide for their needs and send angels. Release your heavenly hosts to put a hedge of protection around these children until help arrives, Father. Just keep them. And Father, after they're rescued from this terrible pit of despair, Father, restore them completely and provide the personnel, the therapists, medical personnel that can help them to restore their lives, their souls, and reintegrate them back into society. And Father, we just thank you for all that you do, and Father, we look expectantly forward to see the good news of the rescue of these children. We thank you in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ken. Amen. Yeah. We do have an enemy, and his name is, of course, Satan, but he's been defeated. But I tell you, it's just like I've never watched a movie where the bad guy wins. You know, I tell you one movie, one actor I used to not like. It's Jean-Claude Van Damme. You guys remember him? If you're my age, you remember him. I tell you one of the reasons I'd never liked him. But, I mean, I know at the end he would win. But he would get beat up by the bad guy, right? I mean, it's like you put him in a ring. You guys remember? I mean, sometimes I'd get so mad because, I mean, like, dude, you're the actor. You're the good guy. You should be kicking the other guy's butt. But I tell you, I guess that was his theme, all right? But then at the end, he would just fall on the ground, all bleedy, feel like there's no life. And then he'd be like, yeah, coming back and like, yeah, you know? So, you know, and he would have maybe a couple kick and finish with the guy. You know, our Jesus is not like that. The enemy has been defeated. Death did not hold him down. And death cannot hold us down. You know, so I tell you, and this is the word of the Lord. Jesus is coming back. Clean house. Hold on tight to what you had. Clean house. Not only physically, but spiritually. Clean house. That's why this morning, this month we've been studying the book of Mark, you know, slowly in our home groups. Last time we met, we studied Mark chapter 4. And Monday I was in men's group, and once again we studied Mark chapter 4. And I kept going back to Mark chapter 4. It's like, wow, I'm reading Mark and John this week. And Mark chapter 4, I couldn't pass Mark chapter 4. It's just like the chapter is so much. So this morning, I want to share Mark chapter 4. We're going to talk about Mark chapter 4, you know. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you that the Bible is life. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, your word, every scripture is God's breath. All scripture is inspired by you, Lord, and is useful to teach us what is true. And to make us realize what is wrong in our life. So today, God, as I open your word, I ask the Holy Spirit would make us realize what is wrong in our lives. I pray that the Holy Spirit will shine his light in our souls, in our spirit, I pray the time we're spending, we will be spending the next couple of minutes, Lord God, I pray that this would be an encounter, a good encounter with your word, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that this time we will be able to clean house. We will be able to get encouraged, like it says, that your word will teach us the truth and your word would make us realize what is wrong in our life. I pray that your word would strengthen us and teach us to do what is right as well. Lord, as I open your word this morning, I pray that our ears would be in tune to hear. I pray against every distraction. You know, sometimes during the sermon or the teaching, people get antsy or they can't sit down or they got to check their message. I pray that this time we will be able to focus on you, Lord. Like you said to in your parable, listen, 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 listen. I pray, Lord, that we would be able to hear. I pray, Father, that you would unclog our ears, spiritual ears. Things sometimes we hear and we don't understand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Christ, Father, may the Holy Spirit do the work. Open our ears. Open my ears, Lord, to listen. As I stand up here, Father, I pray that you would use me and you would teach me. In Jesus' name, if you agree, you said, amen. So, you know, in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus says, if you don't understand, especially that parable we're going to be talking about, if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any other? And I read it multiple times. I even read it again this morning. I'm like, wow, this is one simple parable. You know, in our day of age, I'm not a farmer. I know the closest person that's been working with garden here would be my brother here, Jerry, all right? And me and Bernie, we better not try. Now, Ursel and Kendra might have a green thumb, all right? And maybe some of you ladies, you could resonate with us guys. You don't have a green thumb. But I know some of you other ladies, you do have a green thumb. You can make things go. All right? So this morning I want to talk about what type of soil are you? You know, how is your dirt? How is your dirt? You know? And don't point fingers. I want all of us to think about what kind of soil am I? I'm thinking about this. What kind of soil am I? What kind of soil am I? Do I receive God's word? When I receive it, what do I do about it? Keep tight what you have because Jesus is returning. Don't get distracted. You know, live a holy life. Check out your life. Things that are not in line with the word of the Lord. Clean it. Repent. That's the first step. Repent. You know, it grieves my heart. I tell you one thing that really grieved my heart this week is when I find out people that are supposed to be leaders, pastors, represent Jesus, they misrepresent Jesus. You know, it breaks my heart when a pastor falls. It breaks my heart when someone is being mistreated by a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I'm a pastor. Jesus calls me to represent him. So it breaks my heart when a pastor is rude. A pastor shouldn't be rude. You know, but of course, you know, we don't have to get there. Tons of things happen, and people misrepresent Jesus. So therefore, people out there say, we don't want to go to church. We don't want to. Remember, this building is not the church. This building is not the church, okay? So, and I thank God that we, as a congregation, we're being healed. Lenstown is being healed. We're moving forward. You know, we're still trying to encourage those that haven't been back, and I know I've talked to some of them. They don't want to be back. Okay, so leave them alone. God bless them. Okay, but we are moving forward, and we are being healed. You know, God's doing great thing here, and I'm excited about what he's doing. But I think moving forward, Jesus said it. If anybody cannot understand this parable, how can you understand anything else? If you open your Bibles with me, or maybe we'll be able to have it on the screen, we're talking about the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, this parable, you find it in pretty much three of the Gospels. Mark, in Matthew, and in Luke, all right? Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out of the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And in his teaching, he said, now, remember, all of us, now looking back, we know why Jesus spoke to the people in parable, because sometimes he didn't want the group of people could understand it. But listen to what he said. He started with the word, listen. How many times you and I, because it's not just you, I'm in the same boat, okay? When we try to listen, when someone is talking and our attention span is just like this much. You hear their voice, you kind of hear what they're saying, you were with them at the beginning, but then 2-3 minutes into the conversation, you just hear them, and then you're already thinking about your own thing in your head. You don't have to raise your hands, but that happened to me. So one thing I've been doing, thank you, sister, so I have somebody here that can give me a witness, right? So... But something I've been doing is, especially even if I'm talking to Kendra, I'm trying to be very intentional in listening. And sometimes if you're not intentional in listening, you can get distracted very easy. Especially with so many things that are after our attention. I find out the best thing I can do when I want to spend time with the Lord is turn my phone off and my computer off. I work on my phone. I've got emails. I'm overseeing a lot of other things. Okay, I always have a text. I always have a message. I always have an email. I always do. So therefore, what do? I have to be intentional if I want to develop my listening ear to hear the voice of the Lord. I have to shut other voices. So now here, Jesus is saying, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprung up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear again. But they did not bear grain. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop. Some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. All right, so right there, I'm going to give you a couple of principles. You might not go back and listen to, I encourage you, go back and listen to our sermon. Sometimes if you don't get everything or if you don't have time to write everything, go on the website, go on Facebook or YouTube, listen to it again. I listen to my sermons every Monday, okay? So, principle of the seeds. Now, who is the sower? The sower is the person of influence, because a lot of time here in this passage, a lot of us could be like, well, the sower is a preacher. Like, I'm a sower. I'm sowing. But not, well, yes. But all of us are a sower. You see? Because the sower here is a person of influence. Now, are you a person of influence? I bet you are. You have people in your life you're influencing. You have kids in your life, teenager in your life, you know, people your age, people older than you. You are influencing. A sower could be a church leader or anyone declare God's word or a worker. You know, wherever your job is, you are a sower. So most of us, all of us, I'd say, God called to seed, to plant the seed, to sow the seeds. And especially nowadays, you think, well, should you send because Jesus is returning? Or the world is, I don't think the world is any crazier than it was on Jesus' time. Mm-mm. I don't think so. No. When you study the church history, It's like there was a lot of things. When you read Romans, there was a lot of things Paul addressed. If you read the book of Romans, you're like, wow, the book of Romans talk about everything. So a lot of seed must be scattered to produce a crop. Not all soils produce. We need to be clear about that. Everybody, my prayer is all of us here would be good soil. Oh yeah. And that's your goal. You want to be good soil. You want to be somebody, when you receive God's word, you do something with it. Because if you are not a good soil, when the word of the Lord is planted in your heart, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to produce fruit. That's why you see people that comes to church for years, and you're like, where's the self-control? Where's the power? Where's the power that raised Christ from the dead? But any good soil that received the ground, I mean, that received the seed. I talked about Gary here and Kendra. Those are the two people that I know have a garden. I mean, I see you guys. I see Kendra at home. She's devoted. I'm really enjoying the garden and the fruit, tell you. Last week we had a couple meals just from the garden. Potatoes and everything from the garden. That's amazing. But I'm like, the work she put in it, the soil, she's intentional. Back in the days when Jesus was telling this story, understand that most of the time when you go by a field, you see the corns are like in line. That's machine planted. When Jesus said, the farmer is going out, the farmer had a bag. What do they call those things? A jacut in Creole. You know, the farmer had a bag that he puts his seeds, right? So he would reach to the bag and do what? But I tell you, the farmer was scattering many seeds, but the many seeds he was... Put my next slide up there. I have a picture I want to show you. You see here, over to the left, this is the good soil. You see that? But then, where you see the rock, this, back in the days, was usually the landmark from this guy's land and the other guy's land. But then, you see where the thorns are? The thorns grow where very close to the rocks. And of course, you've got the pathway. The pathway is where the farmer usually walk. And but when he's doing this, what's happening? Four type of soil is receiving the seed. But his intention, we talk about it Monday night. We're like, man, which farmer in his own right mind would go and throw seed on the where the rocks and the thorns are? Nobody. But the way they planted, they scattered the seed. Of course, when he doing this, the wind's going to blow some seeds over to the thorn. Making sense? Is that clear? Very clear. So a lot of seed must be sowed for us to have a harvest. And especially nowadays, we must be very intentional in sowing the seed. Don't worry about the soil. What type of soil is this person? Keep sowing. I told you my prayer and my goal is to challenge you that all of us here are good soil. One word the Lord gave me this week, he's like, he didn't give me. I was praying. I was driving and I'm talking to God about some stuff. And I said, Lord, Jesus, only you can save. And I hear the voice of the Lord saying, yes. And for me, that brought me so much peace. I mean, this is like something very simple. But the type of person I am, I'm a focused guy. I'm like, okay, let's go. And when I say let's go, I'm a bullet. I'm going. And then when I turn around and I see everybody's just like, we're coming. That could be discouraging. Jesus told me, he's like, you know, I'm the one that brings them in. Keep sowing. I tell you, that brought me so much peace. I said, yes, Lord. I said, yes. I said, Jesus, you are the Savior. I'm not. Jesus is the Savior of souls. Don't panic when people don't come to church. Stay focused. Take care of yourself. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Remain faithful. Don't worry about them. As a matter of fact, we can't help them. Only Jesus can. Take care of yourself. That brought me so much peace. I'm like, all right, Lord, let's go. Let's go for it. Let's just have fun. Right now I get to play drums, so I'm going to have fun playing drums. I like playing the guitar and the piano a lot better. But you know what? It's a lot of fun playing the drums. Yeah, I'm getting better, right? I want to come up here and practice. I never knew this was so much fun. So Jesus said, listen. Listen to what? To the parable. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Let them hear. You see, the word in this passage, the word listen here and hear has the same meaning. It means pay attention. Let us give all our attention right to this passage. Let us listen to what the Lord is saying. Listen. In the word listen, you see pay attention, hear, attend, give all your heart to what's being said. God is sowing his seeds. So when God give you his word, what do you do with it? Do you act on it? Or you better? Because if you don't act on it, you won't get any fruit. You see, seed was planted by hands back then. I already told you all that. Whoever has ears must hear. The hearing Jesus wants us to from us is not the kind we use to listen to background music or when someone's telling us a story. It's a lot easier for us to get distracted. To truly hear Jesus' word is to believe them. To truly hear the word of the Lord is to believe them. So when the Lord tells you something, do you believe it? I can't believe for you. I cannot believe God's word for you. I believe God can save, Jesus can save everybody. I believe right now the world is in big turmoil. I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe every word, every scripture here. I read this. I listen to it. I sleep with it sometimes. But I'm intentional about just letting Mark and or Psalm read in the background. Because this is a revelation. I posted that on Facebook yesterday, one of the passages I was reading yesterday from John chapter 9. It's a very dangerous place when you think you know and you you don't know. And the Pharisees had the same problem. There is a saying that says, if you think you know, knowledge has left you. Or you don't know anything. If you think you got it. And how many times people think, well, we got it. We know the Lord. How many times you think people talk about things? I mean, I hear people talking about God like, man, if only you knew the word of the Lord. God is a holy God. How could you live in fornication and be just think, well, you know God? How could you be intentional about lying, living in sin, and be able to sleep at night like a normal Christian? You shouldn't. Because there is no darkness in God. Jesus is light. If you're living in darkness and you're calling yourself a Christian, it's impossible. I can't be a dog and me at the same time. It's impossible. But when you read about what's happening in society, people want you to believe so many weird things. To truly hear, And this is what Jesus said. Let those who have ears to hear, hear. But for us to hear, it means to believe and to use immediately in decisions and attitudes and to base our life on what we heard. So for me to listen, to hear God's word, I'm going to be like, well, if the Bible says for me to love my wife, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to love her. If the word of the Lord says for me to not irritate my children and yelling at them, calling them name, cursing them, what am I going to do? That's what I'm going to do. So if the word of the Lord teach me how to be a good citizen, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to be a good citizen. So I hear it, I believe it, and then I apply it. So then, you know what happened? Then I become a good Christian. I am blessed. Everything that I do is blessed. I walk in the favor of the Lord. That's why I tell you, I told you this a couple weeks ago. Don't look back, look forward. Be excited about your walk with the Lord. Do good things. Make the next right choice in relationship with families, in relationship with neighbors. See, the parable of the sower is the most important subject according to so many scholars. Why? Now, something Miles Monroe said, and I wrote it down, and it's actually very true. Why do you think it's a lot? I mean, sometimes I know in Haiti, that's what they do. They make songs with a lot of things. Songs. Okay? But one of the best way, if you want to remember something, make a song out of it. Because, you know, it's a lot easier. Let's say we're like, we're going to make a song about our service starts exactly Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Okay? And every Sunday, we're going to sing it. All right, we're going to sing. Every here in Lenstown, we meet every Sunday. Or something like that. And the time is 10 a.m. We sing that before we start. And then before we end, we sing that. 10 a.m. You're going to go home. And tonight, that song's going to resonate in your brain. 10 a.m. And then before you know it, when you come here at 10:19... you're going to feel guilty. And you should. Because I want you to come on time so you don't miss anything. But you only remember 38% of everything you listen to. You only remember 38% of everything you listen to. So it is very important. I encourage you to have a notepad, to take notes. You know, when you take notes while you're listening, it is scientifically proven that you will remember between 68 and 70% from what you hear. But now I like this. If you make a song or you repeat something seven times, you have a chance about 95 to 97% to remember it. So that's why I will never stop saying the same thing. And some of you are going to be like, man, this guy is always preaching about the same thing. When I read Mark, Luke, and John, I see Jesus just repeating himself. But of course, the word of the Lord, I mean, each and every day. So when you read it, it's always like, bah! You know? I mean, most of the sermon I've been preaching here, I've never preached them before. I've been preaching full time for 11 years now. Because God's teaching me something, my eyes being open, and then it's like, okay, guys, let's talk about this. Of course, yeah, I know the word. So it is very important for you to keep reading, keep hearing, pay attention. See? Pay attention. Listen. Now I'm going to jump to verse 10. To 21 in Mark chapter 4. When he was alone with the 12 and others around him, asked him about the parable. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may ever seeing but never perceiving. and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Wow. So this is another sermon for itself. I might come back to that. But what I want to address here is when I read this, I say, Lord, let not this happen to me. Father, when you speak, give me ears to hear. Lord, when you're working, that's what I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing in Virginia Beach? I want to see what you're doing. Because our church here is not just the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not just here. There are things God is doing in Virginia Beach. You know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for connection. Especially being new in the community. I'm looking for connection. I'm like, okay, God, what are you doing? Okay, I know David's tent is one of them because they are being intentional about ministering to the presence of the Lord through worship, prophetic worship, dance and stuff. I like that. So that's one place. I met a group in Chesapeake. I went and visit them. It was like, wow, this is like Nick Larum. He preached here before. He's a teacher. But his group of people, God is there. What God is doing in our midst, I see it. New things are happening. New wine's being poured. The new wineskin is being transformed, changed. That's exciting things. So you pray the same thing. This verse, Lord, when you speak, let me hear. Open the eyes of my heart so I can see what you're saying. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed. Some people like seed along the path. Where the word of the Lord sow, as soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. Take away the word that was sown in them. Satan. Others, like the seed sown in rocky places. You hear the word and at once receive it with joy. Man, what a word. What a sermon. Oh man, what a message. Good stuff. They're excited, but since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble comes or persecution, what happened? Because the word, when trouble comes and persecution come because the word, you know, none of us here has ever been persecuted because of God's word. So really, you have nothing to complain about. Persecution because of God's word. How many of you, if you knew, you would have a 50% chance to go to jail to come here, would you come? Don't have to answer. What am I going to say when they tell me I can't preach this? Bring it on. I listened to the book of Acts. Peter said, come on, guys. So you want me to say it's okay to live together? You want me to call a dog cat, cat dogs, a man a woman, and a woman a man? You want me to say that? This is my foundation. We live with the fear of men. And then we fall away from the gospel. That's why I pray that the Lord would give us the backbone. When persecution comes, none of us here, including me, we've never faced persecution because we're Christians. Although, it's getting to that. Being a Christian is not famous. Being a follower of Christ. That's why people don't want to be identify as a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a follower of Christ. You look me online, you see it in red letter. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Oh, I'm not, and I'll never be. Everywhere I go, I'll have a voice. You see, now you need to understand, a Christian is not a religious person to say nice things. A Christian is not just someone who's just judging people. A Christian love. A Christian accept. Acceptance is not tolerance. I accept you where you're at. I accept you don't get it, but I still love you. And I honor you. The culture of honor. I honor you. I respect you. You were created in God's image. All of us were created in God's image. None of us is better than anybody else. Even the sinner, the person that's get it wrong, God still loved them. Jesus died for them as much as he died for you and me. When persecution come, because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of life, the deceitful of wealth, and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown in good soil, hear the word, accept it, accept it, accept it, accept it. They accept it. They hear the word of the Lord. They accept it. When you hear God's word, when I teach you, when I preach to you, when you hear something on the radio that has to do with the God, with God's word, when you read the Bible, you accept it. Because if you don't accept it, that you against it. Don't resist God's word. Do not resist the word of the Lord. Accept the word of the Lord. Because your salvation will come from accepting it. What will happen? Then they're going to produce fruit. 30 some gives. Some gives 60. Some 100 times. You see, in order to have a plentiful harvest in your life, you have to prepare your field. And your field is your heart. In order to break up your unplowed ground, first of all, you must burn away the thorns. Burn away the worries. I told you earlier, to get ready. What are some of the things? I think I wrote it somewhere here. But what are some of the things? What are some of the necessary step for you to take? So you could be like, yeah, I'm at peace. And you know it. What are some of the thorns in your life? What are some things that are like choking God's word in your heart? You know, sometimes, especially here, people don't talk much about Satan. But in Haiti, they talk a lot about Satan because they're very aware of the spirit world. But in Haiti, people talk about, oh, Satan did this, or the devil. It's the devil that caused me to do that. I tell you, the devil cannot cause you to do anything unless you give it full access. You see, we're always looking for somebody to blame for our action. Before I went to a fight, into the fight, I have full self-control. But I choose to fight. I can choose not to fight. That's being, talking about being, oh, there's a good book, Danny said, Keep Your Love On. Talking about being a powerful person and a powerless person. A powerful person own their mind, themselves. Nobody can cause you to do anything, to say anything. God created you strong enough. So we move the rocks that on our fields. What are some rocks on our fields? And maybe right now, rocks might be fear. I love that thing I have in my car, faith over fear. I tell you, it encourages me every day. Thank you, Becky. If you want one, you know who to call. They're only $50. Faith over fear. Faith over fear. I don't live by fear. I live by faith. So, right now, maybe one of the rock or thorn I need to remove in my life is fear. I'm not afraid. Oh, I'm not afraid. You repeat it. Because faith comes by hearing. You confess it. You believe it. I'm not afraid for tomorrow. Don't panic. Don't go like, what's that word? It's a very dangerous word to pronounce in English. Fustiphonic? Yeah, how do you say it? See, even you guys can say it. Schizophrenic. It's a very difficult word. But that's a very good word. People are schizophrenic. They're panicked. They're afraid. They're You know, it's like they watch conspiracy theories and you can't sleep and then your bone hurts and you start having diarrhea. You can't do that. I choose to believe. I choose to believe. I live by faith. I live by faith. I don't live by sight. So therefore, is this my world? This is not home. I am not home yet. I know this. I should try to do this song. I'm not home yet. I'm not home yet. Isaiah chapter 10 verse 12 says, plant good seeds of righteousness and you will harvest a crop of love. This is my charge to you today. Plow up the hard ground in your hearts. Realize, may the Holy Spirit help you to understand what section in my heart that are hard. And I'm praying, whatever political party you could be associated with, make sure you do not hate anybody. You can't hate anybody. You need to pray for everybody. Plow up the hard ground on your heart. For now is the time to seek the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. This is the time to seek the Lord. Seek God. Have you ever lost something? Huh? I was in my attic yesterday. I have a rat in my attic. Oh, mice. Yeah, little mice. So I'm going after it. But the place is like, it's like this big. I mean, I think I'm very flexible until I got there the first time. And when I got out, all my whole body hurts. But then the next night, I heard the rat again. The mice. So yesterday, before I went up there, I had my earbuds. I took them off. I thought I put them in on the table, but I had them in my jacket pocket. So guys, I went in there. I mean, my hunch, what do you call this here? My thighs hurt because I'm going on, you know, the trusses. I don't want to go on the drywall, right? And I'm using muscle to get from one place to the next. I mean, you should be there to see it. It's like I'm using every muscle I have to get to where the mice is. So I got back and I'm looking for my headphone, my little earbuds. I knew I had them in my pocket. So guess what, guys? I had to go up there, not going after the mice, but I had to go after my earbuds. Seek for your earbuds. It will take all you got. Seek for the Lord. It takes all you have. Seek for the Lord. And in my mind, I'm retracing how I went. And I'm going. And I'm on this leg, all right? I'm going. Finally, I found it. And all my pain was worth it. I got them. Put them in my secure pocket, flip on my back, turn around. Guys, I tell you, I pray I got the mice today. Still don't know if I got it, but I've got lots of traps up there. The word of the Lord says, seek the Lord. Seek Him. Plow up your unplowed ground. Plow up the hard ground in your heart, for now is the time to seek Him, that He may come and show righteousness upon you. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. This is what the Lord says to the people of Judea and Jerusalem. Break up the unplowed ground and do not sow among thorns. Do not sow among thorns. Look at for the thorns in your life and do not sow there. Circumcise your hearts. Circumcise yourself to the Lord. Circumcise your heart, you people of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Or my wrath will flare up and burn like fire because of the evil you have done. You see, God is saying to each one of us today, cut off those things that are not what I want you to engage in. When I read that parable, the Lord's saying, cut it off. Even some of the news you listen to. God is saying, cut it off. Cut off the things that I don't want you to engage in. It's good to be informed, but it's not good to so emotionally engage in those things, because the seeds that are being planted through those things in your heart don't build up, don't encourage. It makes you schizophrenic, afraid. You see, the parable here, as a conclusion, showing the four type of hearts, four times of soil. And what soil are you? My challenge to you this morning is that you choose to be a good soil. You see, the Bible says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure. I read from Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, guard your heart, guard your soil. Protect your soil above all things, for it determines the course of your life. I love the version from the Message. It says, keep a vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. What's your heart? What's your heart? You see, this week, for the first time since I'm here as a pastor, I started to take offense for what had happened in this church. I felt like, you know, I was an outsider. I did what I had to do, and God called me to stay, I'm staying. But now this is my church, and I start getting offended for some of the things. I released that. Oh, I didn't take it. I felt it coming. Because I cannot operate from a place of offense, right? Being offended. Isn't that awesome? I receive the word of the Lord. Of course, I know this is, I mean, in my humanness, of course, I could be offended. This is my church. It wasn't my church then, but now, looking back, I could be like, man, so mad. And then I'd become hard. And then I'd start talking and ministering from a hard place. But you know what I did? I didn't do that. I went to the Lord. I'm like, okay, God, I don't take offense. Whatever happened between X, Y, Z, and T, and W. Let's move forward. Because I make a intentional decision to keep a vigilant watch over my heart. Because that's where life starts. And you do the same thing. You keep a vigilant watch over your life, over your heart. I'll ask the worship team to come up. Father, thank you for your word today. Lord, we ask that you'd forgive us. You know, this morning I'm going to ask you, I know sometimes we don't take the time to do this, but I'm going to ask you to respond to the word of the Lord if God's speaking to you, if your heart needs prayer, if there needs to be repentance. You know, when we come to the altar, that doesn't mean you're bad. When you step forward, it's just you giving yourself an opportunity to encounter. You know, you're making a step of faith. So this morning, I know he's been talking to you. And if you feel like your heart needs a boost or whatever else you might need prayer for, I'm going to ask you to step forward. You know, and just come up here. I want to pray for you. I want to lay hands on you if you need prayer for whatever else. But especially if you want to make a decision to keep your heart as a good soil, that's a good reason to step forward. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open me. Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.